Next in studio, I'm delighted to welcome back after a prolonged holiday, Sally. Hope you're feeling relaxed.
I am. I'm back all refreshed and energised.
Fantastic. So as our listeners will know, Sally is a psychologist and psychotherapist. And tonight we decided, given that it's that time of year again, to talk about returning to school and the anxiety that that might cause for children or students transitioning from either primary to secondary school or indeed from secondary school to college. So, Sally, what kind of anxiety might students experience at this time of transition?
Transition, I guess, is the key word there, Rosario. No matter what age we are, transition can be difficult. Change can be difficult, right?
Yes.
So if you're starting school or changing schools, this time of year as well, a lot of people might be changing within the secondary school career. You know, they might be changing from one school to another, having done transition year, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So there's a lot of talk as well, you know, about anxiety recently, and it's on the up, that's for sure. Although I do wonder if it's overdiagnosed at times. I guess what I wanted just to mention tonight is, because we could talk about this for hours, and I know we only have 5 minutes, but the red flags, perhaps, for parents to look out for, right? Mm. So actually, maybe before I talk about them, I'll say one piece, which is that often I get calls at this time of the year from parents talking about their anxious children, and it often turns out that it's the parents actually that are anxious.
Right.
And so they might inadvertently be putting that on their children, or simply assuming that their children are anxious when actually they're not quite as anxious as the parents themselves are.
Okay.
So that's not me saying it's the parents' fault, just to be clear on that, but that we often do as grown-ups, we get our anxiety messed up, we get it confused, you know, with children's anxiety.
Okay, that's a good point.
So yeah, I mean, that is a thing, you know. Children are a lot more resilient than we give them credit for. So, but that
or even
said,
transitioning from preschool to to big school, which
it's a big deal for parents. Like,
well, that especially for parents.
Yeah, it's a huge letting go, and it's very difficult, and for some people, it's genuinely painful. Mm. So, you can get mixed up between where's the line between me and my child? Where does my anxiety end and theirs begin, kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And it becomes quite messy and just difficult.
Right.
So pulling at those threads and separating them out can be very helpful. You know, you might not be dealing with an anxious child. You might be dealing with your anxious self.
Okay, yeah.
So it all takes time to resolve.
Mind.
Yeah. So bearing that in mind, there are some things to look out for. Mm-hmm. So I'll just quickly run through them, not too quickly. I don't want to cause anxiety. So they would be things like changes in eating or sleeping patterns. Mm-hmm. Pattern being key again here. Like having a pattern is one of the best ways to prevent anxiety. But if you already have a pattern and you see a change, then that's a red flag. So changes in toileting, this is obviously for the younger kids more.
Right, of course.
But actually also for adults, you know. So I wrote a piece on this for Family Friendly, and I just noticed the way I phrased it here was changes in toileting, more poos, less poos, no poos.
Okay.
So any change at all. Pains, so by that I mean what we call psychosomatic pains, which are pains that are real, but they have a psychological they have a psychological cause.
Okay.
So they would be things like stomach pains, headaches, shoulder pains, back pain. Wherever adults feel stress, children can feel stress there as well.
Right.
So we kind of forget that children can express anxiety in the same way. So new fear responses to noise or sudden movements. A new reluctance to go out and socialise. A search history, now we're moving up the ages now, a search history on their social media or laptops that are connected to mental health or bullying or school, exam stress, that kind of thing. Withdrawal, that's new, okay? Because some children withdraw anyway, but what I'm talking about now are new things.
Mm-hmm.
An increase in self-soothing behaviours, like carrying older toys or older soothers, or for the older, again, moving up the ages, comfort eating, taking up alcohol, smoking, or an increase in alcohol or smoking.
Okay.
And then the favourite for all parents is the irritability or tantrums that are new.
Okay.
So a certain amount of all of these things can be expected, but at this time of year, the red flags are the new, the changes and the new things.
Okay.
So they're the things I would say to look out for. And then I guess the next piece is, well, what do I do, you know, if I see it?
Yes.
And something I often hear people saying as well is, well, I don't want to say it because I don't want to draw their attention to it and increase anxiety and make things worse. But it has honestly been my experience that if we name it, then that immediately takes the power away from the bad thing.
Okay.
And it's better. It's better to name it because then you're giving your child permission to talk about it and you're letting them see that you're not overwhelmed by it, that okay. you can handle it together. So that would be something like, you know, you seem stressed, I notice you're tired, or I notice you're having a lot of headaches. Sometimes this means that you're anxious. Might it mean that you're anxious?
Okay.
You know, that kind of, and just have a conversation like that. Mm. Or say, oh, yeah, you know, let's figure out together what we can do so that they know it's a team effort.
Very good.
So then you, another thing would be to always listen. One of the temptations, I think, for a lot of people over kind of 24 is to in my day it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's never going to work. I mean, if you think back in your own life, when did that ever help?
Yeah, yeah.
You just feel dismissed and, you know, not really heard. So avoid saying, avoid my daying it. But certainly, you know, listen and empathize. And that should... You'll see anxiety reducing once a person is heard and they feel valued and acknowledged. The next piece, particularly for the younger ones, but not exclusively, is get them to bed. You know, have a routine, have a bedtime routine. It might be a new one now that they're back in school.
Yes.
They will resist and it'll be annoying, but it's your job to, you know, set up your routines and not take it personally when they kick off, because this will pay off.
Yeah, you did mention earlier when we were in conversation about boundaries.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important boundary to like in terms of their routine, sleep and...
Sleeping and eating. And by that I mean eating together. Because when there's food involved and you're all sitting around in a group, if it's two of you in the group or six, it doesn't matter. It's a chance to talk and discuss things and... You know, because there's food to sort of distract you, it's something you're talking while you're eating, you're not just talking. You know, it's not, it can be overwhelming to sit down and have a chat, but if it's over food, it's different.
Plus, we have a rule, Sally, in our house, no technology at the table.
Great rule.
Because I found when you're talking and talking to somebody who's scrolling or you're talking to with a screen at the side, even if they're just playing music, it's very distracting.
It is. And, you know, kids notice that. And actually, I had an experience very recently in a coffee shop, in a local coffee shop, where there was a man and his son and they were there for 45 minutes. And that man did not take his eyes off the phone for the whole 45 minutes. As in, he didn't even look up to drink his coffee. He was just looking at the phone and kind of fumbling around for the coffee. And as the time passed, the child got more and more angry. So this kind of thing can happen. And then you're wondering, why is my child angry? But it might be that your child is upset or hurt or just really just needs some attention
and feeling ignored.
Okay. So again, like, it's great to have a no phones rule or at mealtimes, but just make sure that as the adult that you abide by the same rule. Otherwise it lands as really disrespectful and unfair, you know, on the kids. So that's a great idea. Another thing around boundaries is make plans, because school is a new thing and changes in school is a new thing. So keep as many things as routine and the same as possible. So that would be make plans for the next week, have it on a notice board so everyone knows what's going on, especially if you have any children in the house that are on the spectrum. Plans are super important, and not deviating from them is very helpful around anxiety.
Okay, and letting people know what's coming up.
Yeah,
they can prepare mentally.
Narrated as it's happened. Oh, it's today, it's Tuesday, here's our plan for today, this is what's going to happen, you know. And if something goes wrong or if there's a mistake, you know, just apologise for it. It's okay. You know, you can start again. But the more routine and plan you can make, the better with regards to anxiety. And involve your children in this plan as well, so that you're not necessarily a dictator. You are in charge, right? Getting back to the boundary bit. But if you allow children to be involved in some of the decisions, then that's helpful.
Okay.
And it gives them responsibility. So this would be kind of for top level anxiety. And by that, I mean the normal kind of anxiety. There will be some things that you mightn't feel equipped to deal with, and they might be things like if you see your child is self-harming, for example, or talking about suicide or that kind of thing, then you might need to get extra help, in which case, you know, you talk to your GP or a psychologist or the school. You know, teachers are incredibly gifted at spotting what's going on with children.
Yes.
That's certainly been my experience. If I'd say to parents, sometimes, have you asked the teacher? And then they come back and they'd say, oh, you know, the teacher had so much useful information. So yes, always use the teachers. So they would be the main things. I know I could go on about it for hours and I
can't. Are there any other red flags just before? Yeah, Sally, this is extremely interesting and I'm sure it's very relevant, you know, because it's a time of transition.
Yeah.
As I said, kids from preschool to primary, from primary to secondary and secondary to college.
Yeah.
And the challenges are different, but I suppose essentially they're all the same. It's about change, isn't it?
Yeah, not much has really changed, but it's the method. So yeah, structure is important, listening is important, not belittling them, and, you know, being available, and boundaries. Mm. You know, don't be afraid to be the parent. You've plenty of time to be the friend later when they grow up.
Mm.
But right now, what they need, even though they're not going to tell you that, but what they need is a parent. They don't need a buddy. They have buddies at school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good, Sally. And I'm delighted we had this discussion because, you know, friends of mine have been having these kinds of discussions about their various children going in at different stages, even if it's just going from one class to the next.
Yeah, any new teacher is difficult. Yeah.
New teacher or new routine or, you know.
Or a missing teacher. You know, there might be some teachers that aren't there anymore this year, and that can be very difficult.
Yes, very.
Yeah.
So can change the dynamic. So. Well, thank you, Sally. That's very helpful. And delighted to have you back again.
For